The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're celebrating the 4th of July, and it's something to celebrate, a country that has had an incredible amount of freedom. But more than that, a country that has been blessed by God, possibly more than any country has ever been blessed by God. And it is through the United States, thousands of missionaries are still going over the world, proclaiming the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're going from this country, and we're broadcasting radio and television all over the world from the United States of America. And so we have a government that in many ways, from the past at least, has been based on concepts that come from the Word of God, the Bible. And we have been able to preach the Word of God and preach the glorious message of Jesus Christ in this country and to the world, and we still do. So we can thank God for the freedom that we have in our country. But I believe one of the reasons, at the time it was set up, there are many people, and people can deny that many of these people were Christians. They can deny it, but if you read what they say, that's the proof of the pudding. And this book called America's God and Country, you could get this book from the library. And the author of it is William J. Federer, or you could look on the internet and buy the book. It's about 800 pages. And I believe if you read what these fellows say, you will be astounded at what they say and their testimony of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and also their belief in the Bible. But George Washington wrote a prayer dedicating the United States to God. And this prayer is found right near where that 9/11 took place and those towers came down. And it was found in a church there in New York City, right by where the towers came down. And here is the prayer, and it says this, by George Washington: Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou will keep the United States in thy holy protection, and thou will incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large, and particularly for their brethren who have served in the field. I really like that. He's praying that we'll love one another. You see, if people would love one another, they wouldn't lie to each other. They wouldn't steal from one another. They wouldn't kill and rape and murder one another. They would help each other. And that's a God-given society. And then he says, and finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. He's talking about Jesus there. And without a humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. If we don't have the charity and humility and so on, we can't be a happy nation, he says. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so he was a believer in Christ, and there's many pages I have at home in which he has written down his prayers and demonstrate this. But I'd like to talk about some, particularly our political leaders, and I'll mention a few other people that were outstanding in the Western world. But Blaise Pascal was a mathematical genius and also an incredible scientist, probably one of the great mathematical geniuses in the history of the world, if not the greatest. And one day he was in a hotel in Paris, and he saw a Bible, and he started to read it. And right away he said, this is something supernatural. The mathematical equations in this Bible, in this book, are supernatural. And it led him to become a believer in Jesus Christ. And he says this, and I'll give something else here that he developed. He was one of history's greatest mathematicians. He laid the foundations for hydrostatics, hydrodynamics, differential calculus, and the theory of probability. He is famous for the wager of Pascal, paraphrased as follows. How can anyone lose who chooses to be a Christian? If when he dies, there turns out to be no God and his faith was in vain, he has lost nothing. In fact, has been happier in life than his non-believing friends. If, however, there is a God in a heaven and hell, then he has gained heaven and his skeptical friends will have lost everything in hell. That is by Blaise Pascal, and that's something worth thinking about. Now, one of the, probably one of the greatest scientists that ever lived, his name was Isaac Newton. And notice this, what he says. He says, Isaac Newton, the father of modern science, said these wise words, the father of modern science. And many other individuals have started different scientific studies in many different areas where Bible-believing Christians, they believed that the creator of the universe came to this earth. His name was Jesus Christ. He created everything, and that the Bible was the word of God. Newton says, we account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history whatsoever. So he believes the Bible. Now let's take another individual, Samuel Morse. He was famous for his invention of the telegraph, wrote these words 4 years before he died. The nearer I approach the end of my pilgrimage, the clearer is the evidence of the divine origin of the Bible. The grandeur and sublimity of God's remedy for fallen men are most appreciated, and the future is illuminated with hope and joy. And that is certainly good words, because for the person that believes in Christ, they have God's peace and they have a glorious future with Jesus forever. Now, Napoleon, and he had many sins for God to forgive him, but he was the great general, and he started to read the Bible in his old age, and he says, the Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it. I never omit to read it, and every day with new pleasure. He also wrote this about Jesus. I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Well, what did Theodore Roosevelt say? Who is a famous president of America, he said, no educated man can afford to be ignorant of the Bible. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. And he was one of the conquerors of Cuba in the Spanish Empire. But what about Patrick Henry? He was governor of Virginia and also a great orator who said, give me liberty or give me death. What did he say about the Bible? He said, here is a book worth more than all the other books which were ever printed. Yet it is my misfortune never to have till lately found time to read it with proper intention or feeling. And so he was a great believer in Jesus. Here's Andrew Jackson, the conqueror of New Orleans. And I read in his writings where he said that it was a miracle, and he described what God had done in that battle so he'd win. And Andrew Jackson says this, and he was president of the United States, by the way. That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests. Well, here's William McKinley, another individual. He believed the Bible. The more profoundly we study this wonderful book And the more closely we observe its divine precepts, the better citizens we will become and the higher will be our destiny as a nation. And so he believed the Bible was the thing that would help us. And see, in the Bible, Jesus says, love God with all your heart and mind and love your neighbors yourself. So therefore, you do good to your neighbor. And instead of the country being involved in endless litigation and endless fighting among themselves and endless cheating and stealing, and so until they all become poverty-stricken, working together in the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the love of fellow man, the country can be successful and prosperous. Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States, and McKinley was a President of the United States too, he believed the Bible. There are a good many problems before the American people today and before me as president, but I expect to find the solution of those problems just as the proportion that I am faithful to the study of God's Word, or the Word of God. Now, what did Thomas Jefferson say about the Bible, a third president of the United States? He says this, I have always said and always will say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make us better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands. And so that was his belief about the Bible. You think these people were all ignorant and dumb and didn't know what they were, uneducated and didn't know what they were talking about? They certainly did. And the people that put down the Bible today, a lot of times they hadn't read it. You know, it was like Thomas Paine. He was famous for writing a book against the Bible. But then later on in his life, he said, and when he wrote that book, he said he had never even read a Bible. He said later on, he said, I was sorry that I ever wrote it. And I read his direct quotation on it. It's not somebody else's idea. Here's John Quincy Adams on the Bible, one of the great leaders of America. I say to you, search the scriptures. The Bible is the book of all others to be read at all ages and in all conditions of human life. Not to be read once or twice or thrice through and then laid aside, but to be read in small portions of one or two chapters every day and never be intermitted unless by some overruling necessity. John Quincy Adams. At this time, we'll take a break and then we'll come back to you.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
If you contact us, we'll send you out a paper for free and we'll even pay the postage. And this paper has 100 places where the names of Jesus have been taken out of the modern counterfeit Bibles. Like, for instance, the Revised Standard Version, the New American Standard Bible, the New International Version. And we have the exact references, and you can copy these. You can hand them out. You can make as many as you want. And we'll send this out to you for free and even pay the postage for the thing. And it's very important. Do you know that over 99% of the ancient manuscripts back up the King James, the Greek manuscripts back up the King James? And we know that in the Greek Orthodox Church, they have lectionaries that go right back to 100. And they found over 1,000 of them. I think it's about 2,000. And this was by Kurt Ahlen. I read this. I have tried to read every book I could on this subject. It's made a believer out of me. He's a leading writer from Munster, Germany, and he said that these lectionaries go right back to 100, and they support the King James Bible. And so this program is to uphold the Bible in general and the King James Bible in particular. And we would like to, if you'd like to contact us, we have a massive amount of literature that is coming out from around the world, you know, that actually backs us up. But I have many scripture verses in the Bible that point to the King James as God's Word. I don't believe this business about the originals. You know, they'll say the Bible is true, the Bible is infallible, inspired, and inerrant, and they'll say is present tense, and they say in the original. So that's an oxymoron. They've just made two contradictory statements. The Bible is true because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And it'd be easier for the sun to burn out than God's very words. And God puts a lot of emphasis on his words. Read the last book of Revelation, or the last chapter of Revelation, and read all through the Bible. The words are important. And God said he'd preserve his words. God speaks English. Says to men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. Now, I'm reading out a book today, and I'd like to let you know about this book. And it is called Scientific Facts in the Bible. And it's an incredible little book, and I am not selling it. So you may be able to get it in the library, or you can look on the internet, and you can order the book. And the book is only $5.99. And I am not, I don't know the author of the book, and I'm not selling it, but it is just worth you having, because the Bible is being attacked. You know, the first thing that the devil said when he talked to mankind, and he talked to Eve, he said, yea, hath God said. And the Satan's primary business is to question God's word. And the Bible says faith is the substance things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is based on infallible proof. And it is based on fact and a massive amount of evidence. And so we are trying to present the evidence in our program we have every Wednesday and actually on Thursday, and this program would be then. Okay, now I'm going to read what other people, these are famous individuals, and I try to take this thing on the Bible and present it from many different ways. And we say that this book is called Scientific Facts in the Bible by Ray Comfort. And I would definitely try to order this. Maybe you can go to a bookstore and order it there, order it on the internet. Now, Thomas Jefferson, here's what he says. I have always said and always will say that studious perusal of the sacred volume will make us better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands. Herbert Hoover, here's what he said. President of the United States, the whole inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life, according to Herbert Hoover, the President of the United States. You ought to read the Bible every day. I'm telling you, it'll give you peace of mind. It'll give you joy. And I experienced this, and so have millions of other people. And you can know God, and you can read what the creator of this universe thinks about everything and what he says about it. And you can know from the word of God that when you die, you're going to heaven, and you don't have to wait till you die to find out. You can know it now because the Bible tells you. I say to you, search the scriptures. The Bible is the book of all others to be read at all ages and in all conditions of human life, not to be read once or twice or thrice through and then laid aside, but to read in small portions of one or two chapters every day and never to be intermitted unless by some overruling necessity. John Quincy Adams. You know, I was reading just recently, there's a famous individual who was a dictator in the Soviet Union. His name was Mr. Khrushchev, and I had a chance, I got his book at home, and he's a very interesting writer. He was one of Stalin's hatchet men, and he actually spent a lot of time with Stalin and described it. And he was the guy that pounded on the desk in the United Nations, and also we almost got into a nuclear war, and Khrushchev was the dictator. But he was put out of his position, and the reason that he was put out was, and I know this from a number of different sources, he actually became a Christian. And he told a man that was a Christian man from New Zealand who went over there and traveled with Khrushchev over Russia. And he told him that his grandmother had him memorize the whole Gospel of John when he was a child. You know, that's why children should learn the Bible, memorize it, and read it. Because later on in his life, here this dictator reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, of the great communist country, actually became a believer in Jesus. And so the Bible has the power to change men's lives. Now, Franklin D. Roosevelt was the leader of the America in the Second World War, and he says this about the Bible. We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. They're trying to take all that out of the history books now because they're lying. It is a fountain of strength and now as always an aid in attaining the highest aspirations of the human soul. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Here's Ulysses S. Grant. He was the conqueror of the North, for the North in the Civil War. Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives. Ulysses S. Grant. Now, here's what Winston Churchill said. And in case you don't know who he was, he led the English in war on Germany in World War II. And he was considered a great leader of England that inspired them and helped them to lead them to victory. And Winston Churchill was also a first-class historian and wrote the history of England. Now look what this historian says, and this leader of men says about the Bible. Let men of science and learning expound their knowledge and prize and probe with their researches every detail of the records which have been preserved to us from those dim ages. All they will do is fortify the grand simplicity and essential accuracy of the recorded truths which have lighted so far the pilgrimage of men. So he tells us that the Bible is accurate. This is a first-class historian who wrote volumes on the history of England and also led the English. Charles Dickens, here's what he says. The New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world. Oh, what a wonderful statement that is, and I agree to that. Then here's John Adams. The Bible's the best book in the world. It contains more than all the libraries I have seen. Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obligated in conscience to temperance, frugality, industry, justice, kindness, charity towards his fellow men and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. John Adams. Well, here's Ronald Reagan. He says, within the covers of the Bible are all the answers for all the problems men face. The Bible can touch hearts, order minds, and refresh souls. You think all these people were ignorant and dumb? I tell you, the people that attack the Bible, they're the ignorant ones. Here's George Washington. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God or the Bible. It is all the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And then he says, direct my thoughts, words, and work, wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ. I know I read it twice, but it's worth reading. Here's Dwight Eisenhower, a great leader of the United States armies in World War II and President of the United States. The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. It takes no brains to be an atheist. Any stupid person can deny the existence of a supernatural power because man's physical senses cannot detect it. But there cannot be ignored the influence of conscience, the respect we feel for the moral law, the mystery of first life, or the marvelous order in which the universe moves about us on this earth. All these evidence, the handiwork of the beneficent deity, that deity is the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ, his Son. Well, praise the Lord for that statement. And so, Abraham Lincoln, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given to man. And that is the truth, because it tells us how to have eternal life. And eternal life, it says, as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, with all your heart, you pray and ask him for salvation. He'll give it to you. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.